listening to the UK and the world's favorite wrestling podcast, RTM Wrestling, with your hosts, Andy and Emma.
And we're on. You just laugh then.
Oh, no, I can't. Susie went, "You're on." I was like...
Oh, Jesus wept.
Oh, we're on. We're here.
How are you doing? Hey.
You got in there first. Hey, I'm okay. I'm in a bit of a bad mood, aren't I?
Yeah, you are actually in a bit of a foul mood, one might say.
There's many reasons why, but the main reason is nothing seems to be working for me. No technology. It's all fucking coming crashing down. So that moment, like, when you don't, like, use technology that much, and then it feels like this, the last, like, 5 days, I've done nothing but, like, try and set things up, turn things on, plug things in, and it's just, none of it's working. I was like, fuck's sake. Anyway.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, there's that, and obviously I'm overwhelmed by the amount of wrestling that there is this weekend as well, and I've got a shoehorn in. Just random shit in between, and I'm hardly sleeping. It's a cacophony of fuckery,
isn't it?
I was going to say cacophony.
Were you?
Yeah. Cacophony was what I was going with. But I wasn't quite sure it was going to be
right.
That could
be the title of the show.
Cacophony of fuckery, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's we listened to Senjutsu this morning.
The new Iron Maiden album for the uninitiated.
It's all right.
It's like I said to you, the what you have to take from Senjutsu is it sounds like Maiden. It's undeniably Maiden. So yeah. Well, there might not be like songs like Writing on the Wall, like banger after banger, and ones that are likely to never ever get, after this album's been released, you're never going to hear it live. They're never going to take it. They'll take Writing on the Wall, I think. Writing's on the Wall, whatever it's called. They'll take that, and I think they'll incorporate that into future shows forever, because it's such a good song.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But the rest of them, you know, they are quite forgettable. There's a couple of alright ones on there. But it's Maiden, so at least they're not doing something stupid where they're, like, just doing a totally different genre.
Well, I've got to love this album, though.
What do you mean?
Because I fucking ordered 4 t-shirts like a knob.
Yeah, well, they're cool, aren't they?
I get caught up in it. I get caught up in all this sort of stuff. It's 20% off Shop AEW's, you know, it's probably going to come and bite me in the arse in about a month's time when we get a delivery. It's like, oh shit, I bought a fucking 2.0 shirt.
I know. It's just the way it goes, though. You're it a t-shirt is. Person.
I am,
First reaction to buy something is always a t-shirt. It's not like...
It's not a pair of pants or like shoes. Or
no, anything. But it's not like, oh, I'm going to buy this signed album that's coming out or something like that. I'm going to get this special edition LP. It's always a t-shirt. And that's just who you are. You've always been a t-shirt person.
True that.
Yeah.
I have always been a t-shirt person.
It's one
person.
Of the things that sort of attracted me to you. Well, it's not necessarily attracted me to you, but it was a good like opener for me to be able to speak to you.
Right.
Because you had that It, the clown.
I did.
Top
I had the
on.
T-Fury's It,
where
as in
like
the McDonald's.
Ronald McDonald.
Yeah, I'm loving it. Yeah.
So I was able to have a conversation with you about that. So I like your t-shirts for that reason.
And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, them fucking stars just align. Because I'm sure most other people may have looked at me in that shirt and been like, what the fuck's he doing? But
no, I thought it was cool as fuck.
Yeah, good. How are you doing?
I'm hungover again. Like, it's just becoming a regular Saturday occurrence. Do you know what? I think my tolerance for alcohol is going down, like, quite dramatically.
Yeah, well, you're not drinking that much.
This is the thing. And I used to, when I think back now, like, you know, a couple of years ago, I might have, like, a bottle of wine. And then I'd start drinking, like, vodka after it. And I'd be pissed.
Oh, yeah.
But I'd be quite happy to. Now, when I'm having wine... I have like one or two glasses and I'm like, oh, it's starting to not taste great this now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's exactly what happened with me.
Yeah.
Because I'm near enough teetotal now.
Yeah, straight edge, aren't you, baby?
Yeah, don't. Don't. I'm sure if I jumped into a crowd and somebody offered me a drink, that shit would have just got drunk just for the sake of it. But yeah, I've not had a drink for ages because it just doesn't make I used to get because I've never drunk excessively. I think the most I've ever drunk is in high school, which is the irony of that.
Yeah.
But like now, like I used to have a couple. Like say if we went out for a meal or something, I'd have a, you know, two or three Jack Daniels and Cokes and all that kind of stuff, and I'd feel great and it'd give me a nice little buzz. And but now like. After like the first one, I'm getting a headache. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, it's ain't worth it.
The thing is as well with you that I find really interesting, and it's the same when, you know, you smoke weed and stuff, is that you get a buzz immediately.
Yeah.
So like when you have one drink, you're like people who are like five drinks in, not like slurring your words or anything, but you've got that like that buzz it gives you. You get it very quickly and you come down from it like immediately.
Really quick,
whereas drink like really is like a snowball for me.
Yeah.
And I'm a few drinks in before I start to feel it, and by that point it's too late, I'm going to be ill the next day because I've had too much. So I think that might be why.
Yeah,
but I think your hangover kicks in almost straight away which is so bizarre.
Yeah,
I'd love that to happen.
It is mad. Yeah, it is mad.
But yeah, I would quite like to I think, do you know what, I think there's one drink that's really starting to, I can't have any more. And
what's
that's like fizzy Prosecco-esque drinks.
Right.
Because they're really starting to make me poorly now. And I don't have to have very much. And my headache is like almost immediate.
Yeah.
And I can feel it for ages afterwards. Because I had like a fizzy rosé thing yesterday.
Right.
And then I had a glass of red wine.
Okay.
And that was it.
Right.
And it's like, and I was really quite drunk, and I didn't eat very much, but I was really quite drunk, and I had a terrible headache, and I've still got it.
Yeah, it's mad.
So I think I've got a knock the fizzy shit on the head, which is annoying, because I really like it.
Well, yeah, but...
Bougie, innit? Bougie.
Well, maybe, like, if you're going to have that, just make sure you're having water as well, you're having... Mm. I don't know, it's that boring fucking thing, and I don't believe you for a second, Axel, good luck with that on Sunday night.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, water and then a pint, yeah, you'll get well into it, mate.
Wait, so, do you know what, those nights, because we went and did like a late one, didn't we, when we went to ICW, and then we went to Walkabout.
What was the pay-per-view that we did it for?
I can't remember.
It was
remember
some
the
WWE
time.
Shit, wasn't it?
It was definitely like, I don't think it was like summertime, because
no.
I seem to remember it going dark quite early when we were queuing to get in.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I feel like we were in the winter-ish months.
Was it like Royal Rumble or something like that? It couldn't have been Royal Rumble.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was in either November or December. But the reason I remember that is because Strictly was on Blackpool Week when we were in Glasgow. And that's usually towards the end, because I remember it being on the telly as we were getting ready to go. So it
maybe
must
Survivor
have been,
Series
yeah,
then?
Yeah, maybe. But we did that where we went to watch ICW and then we went to Walkabout.
God, that was a long day.
We were
that.
Knackered. Like, we were so tired. I just remember being... It's one of those where you're fine, because you're coming out the high of the show. And then you find when you get in there, but it was getting that drink,
yeah.
And you're like, shit, this is late and I'm knackered.
Well, I from a Walkabout, I bought like a burger and chips.
Yeah, you did.
Just from a hatch. Like, and that knocked me off like big time.
There's just something about like feeling, when you've been somewhere as well, like you've gone to watch a show, you feel a bit grubby getting out and a little bit hot and a bit tired. And then going sitting in a pub when you're not really feeling at your best, as in like you don't really feel clean.
Stanky.
You just feel great.
Stanky.
Yeah, you feel that. You feel stanky. So like, yeah, I just was like, I need to go and get in bed, get a shower and just fucking go sleep.
Go home.
Especially because you're watching something on the telly and everyone's super into it at the start. And then they all sort of like tail off and start chatting with each other because they're bored. And you think, why am I watching this in this pub?
Yeah, totally.
It just seems like so silly. I might as well be back in the hotel and watching on a laptop.
Yeah.
Because the atmosphere's there to start with and then no one's asked.
And then everyone's like fucking five drinks in and they're just like falling over.
Don't give a shit.
Oh, God. Well, you know, we've got...
Have fun, Axel.
Yeah. Good luck, mate.
Just solved that for you.
No, I think he's going with like a group of mates, so that should be all right. Let's get going then, shall we?
Let's do this.
Hello everyone and welcome once again to RTM Wrestling. episode 176.
Let's go with that.
Let's go with that.
Might be wrong.
The right episode number will be on the episode. This is an all-out prediction show. We've not done one of these for a while. I've got a little bit of news in there, a little bit of New Japan, even though one of the events has already happened, which I'll be watching pretty much straight after we're done here. Yeah, I hope you're well. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're all excited, because we're looking at a fucking mental... And this could be the ongoing theme for the next, like, 3 months of just mad excitement for shows and stuff from the AEW side. There's a lot.
There is a lot. And do you know what? I keep forgetting the pay-per-views on Sunday.
Yeah?
I keep forgetting about it. I don't know whether it's because I didn't watch Rampage last night.
Maybe. Well, I stupidly stayed up for it. I mean, it was an enjoyable show, but it's one of them where they are putting on decent shows and all that kind of stuff, but you can't, you know, there's gotta be a drop off, and this is the thing, like, you know, we've been into it for like a good year now, over a year now, like solidly, religiously. There's going to be a drop off at some point. All these highs, there has to be a low at some point. That's just the way it goes. There has to be a bit of fatigue, and I wouldn't say that I'm at that point where I'm feeling fatigued, but there's a couple of like booking decisions now where I'm like, you know, like Aleister Black, for example, like, why isn't he on All Out? Why isn't him against Dustin Rhodes, which is what they set up last night, why isn't that on All Out? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me that it's, oh, next week on Dynamite, Malakai Black's going to be up again. And it's like, yeah, but so he's not going to be on the pay-per-view. So Malakai Black is like top of the food chain, really, in this, the way they've booked him in the entrance and everything like that. Why isn't he on the pay-per-view? You know, I don't know if they have teased it or if other people have teased it, because obviously Pac's ill, so he can't be on it, so they've removed Pac and Andrade, but they've announced Pac and Andrade for next Friday.
Right, okay.
So it's like, okay, how, you know, so it seems to me like a COVID thing, so it's 2 weeks and then he's back on the show anyway. So maybe he has got COVID, hopefully he's okay. But Andrade could have still been on All Out and gone against somebody else. Like, you're telling me Andrade and Aleister Black couldn't, or Malakai Black couldn't have had a good match. So it's little things like that where I'm like, I understand that Punk's your new guy and he's been really pushed, you know, to my personal opinion, to the detriment of the rest of the show.
Right.
Because he is literally on everything.
Yeah.
But that's just my personal opinion. Am I excited? Of course I'm excited. But the, you know... I don't know, it's weird. The Punk thing's weird.
What, like, in what way? What do you mean?
Tell me
how you're feeling. Talk to Dr. Jack.
I don't think Darby's the right first opponent.
Right, okay.
Because what I've got in my head now, we're going into predictions territory here, so okay. I'll save most of it for later on. But I don't know, it's just like mega face versus their company face. And I can't see this as being a clean finish. I think they're going to give me some bullshit finish where, yeah, like 2.0 come out or something. But we'll save that for later. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've just I don't know. I'm not feeling it. I'm feeling a little. Do you know what's really controversial about it? And I kind of felt this way last night, and I listened to a couple of like interviews that he's done, and I'm sure I'm well out of line. Maybe it's because I've been in a bit of a foul mood for a couple of days. But I look at him and I don't buy it. Like, I don't buy the humble, I'm back for the fans and this is, I don't buy it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I don't know why. I mean, obviously, like, you know, if you listen to this show regularly, I've had very harsh things to say about Punk over the years when he's been talking his shit, which he's well entitled to. But yeah, I don't know what it is. There's some mad disconnect now. Because, like, that first, you know, the first pop was, like, the greatest thing that's happened in wrestling, you know, for a very, very long time, if not ever. now I'm like, I'm kind of like, get on with it now. I think that's the thing, because he came out last night to do his commentary, and he's like motioning to the crowd like, oh, I'm going to go and sit over there and put the headset on. And then he starts like pointing to the crowd like, oh, you're going to catch me again. And he did that bit again. And then we obviously got the guy offering him his pint or whatever drink he had, and he was just like, no. But then he kind of like turned to the camera and was like laughing. And it just felt really orchestrated. It didn't feel natural.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the first time he came out, it felt very natural. And he did kind of address that in one of the promos where he's like, oh, you know, this isn't going to last forever, and I'm just going to keep milking it until it doesn't anymore. I think I'm just like, get on with it now. I want to see him wrestling. I want to see him in a pro. I think the whole. I'm ranting here. I know I'm going off a rant, but I'm getting a bit sick of. And it was mad because it's like been a week, but I'm getting a bit sick of. CM Punk's gonna talk. CM Punk's gonna talk. It's like CM Punk should be in the ring wrestling now. I'm like, what the fuck was that?
I don't know. Something just fell over though.
Like a fucking pigeon just flew in.
Oh god.
But yeah, the whole coming out and giving his promo, which is why like on Dynamite, him getting attacked by 2.0 and stuff. That was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I want to see him as character. CM Punk now. I think I don't give a fuck about CM Punk the guy who's made this big return. I want to see him in character.
Yeah.
Because I've got a few theories around what may transpire at the old show. But we'll get into that in a little bit later. But yeah, but what I mean, obviously you've not seen Rampage, but you saw Dynamite.
Mm.
You know, are you still like, yeah, or because personally, I think the stocks level has dropped a little bit since he debuted.
I think that I do think you're right. I think we're in a weird holding pattern with him. They've not established, wrestling wise, what his character is in AEW yet.
Yeah.
So obviously, he is just coming out being Phil and the crowd's cheering. Do you know what I mean, though? But it's
which
been
is
like,
great.
Yeah, it's great. Of
and
course
I am being
it's great.
I'm being overly picky.
Of course, it's great. Yeah. But I think, I think like we don't know what character he's going to take on yet. We don't know if it is going to be he's going to turn into a heel, perhaps, or he's going to stay a super face. We don't know who he is as a wrestler yet.
Yes.
So that's yet to be confirmed, because he is just coming out being himself saying, hey, it's great to be back, guys.
Yeah.
And when you leave,
it's a bit
to...
like fucking like some random, it's like Kevin Nash at ICW, but he's not pissed out of his face.
Yeah.
You know, it's that ICW show, he's like, oh, you could say fuck on this show. Crowd's popping. It's a bit like, it's obviously not as bad as that, but that's a bit like he's not a part of the roster yet. It doesn't feel like he's part of the roster yet to me.
No, and he is going into a match on Sunday, and we still don't know why, really.
Yeah.
Apart from he likes Darby Allin and respects him as a wrestler, so I want a match with you. Fine, like that's okay, but we don't have much of a reason why Darby, like, what's the, you know, you can't.
And he's always saying,
a bit of a, like, I'm always a little bit trepidatious when wrestlers say, I really respect you, so I'm going to have a wrestling match with you. It's like, it's like, why? But why? Like, it's, I kind of need a beef, I need a reason, and we haven't been given that.
Which will come, like, but not in this match, but like, you know, they obviously wanted to put him against like one of their top stars. But like you've said, you know, I want to help you. Like, it doesn't help him by pinning him, which is where I'm going. So this is what's took the shine off it a little bit, because I think something's going to happen.
Okay.
But anyway, we'll get into that in a second. So let's get into a little bit of news, tiny bit of news, not a lot of news, then we're going to get into the predictions.
Who went a bit with Donald Trump then? Tiny bit of news.
Tiny bit of news, great news, fantastic
little
news.
Little bit of news.
What does he say? Fantastic.
Beautiful news.
Beautiful news. WWE Hall of Famer Kurt Angle was on the Wrestling Inc. podcast this week. If anyone listens to that, I do not. And he was asked about if he's been asked to work for AEW. Quotes, yes, they've offered me a couple of contracts, Angle revealed. I turned it down for personal reasons, but Tony Khan's been really nice to me, very generous, and I appreciate his interest in having me there. But this particular time, I can't do it. The first offer was they wanted me to have many matches. The next offer was like 3 matches, and then the last offer was just an on-camera personality, no wrestling. But he's turned them all down. So my question to you is, do you want to see Kurt Angle in AEW?
No.
No.
Absolutely not. I think then you are getting into the realm of...
anyone.
Anyone. And I know that's really harsh, but if you think about Angle, he's so not needed. He really isn't needed on that show. I don't know where he fits in. Yeah. I don't know what they would do with him. It's an odd one, that. And I wouldn't... He's probably one of the last people I would have... I'm surprised he's been off the contract. Because he is one of the last people I would be like, this will really add to the AEW brand. Sting I get. Punk I get. Daniel Bryan I get. I don't get Angle. I just don't really get it. And even Big Show makes sense. You know, Paul White makes sense. Because he's mainly, you know, he's doing commentary and all that jazz. And Mark Henry, yeah. You know, he's getting involved in the community stuff. Angle just seems like a just cause. It's Kurt Angle and it's a name. And I don't think it's enough of a name, really, for what they're doing. He's very...
It seems like Khan, which is great, because we can talk about Khan in a bit, like about his markdom, which is just fucking brilliant. But it seems like Khan's trying to right the wrongs of WWE.
Yeah.
It's like every time somebody's like slighted... in WWE, he's like, let me try and right that wrong so you can have your final kind of big moment. And I think Angle makes sense to a degree because he is a big name, but again, it's that, you know, needle moving thing. I don't think it adds anything to their product. It's just a cool thing to do. And that's mostly, I think, other than Punk, but Punk's just a happy coincidence that it does, you know, generate a lot of traffic for him.
Yeah.
He seems to be booking, which is great, and it's why, you know, it's a great show. He seems to be booking what he wants and what he likes. So there's a massive difference there between watching a show which is booked by people who don't like wrestling, but are putting a entertainment show on, but they don't know which direction they're going. The script's getting ripped up 3 times on a Monday before a show, and 6 times actually. Which was what this week's was. So there's a massive difference there between like a fan booking a show, thinking about what reactions the crowd would have. And we know that because we've heard Tony Khan talk about, I knew, like say, you know, way back when Orange Cassidy was first starting, he knew the crowd were going to start because they set him up to by saying he's going to try. And the crowd started chanting, he's going to try for Cassidy against Pac. So he thinks like that. He's thinking like a fan. Is everything hitting the way he wants it to? No. But that'll come with experience in, you know, 5, maybe 10 years down the line, if it's still a thing. And he doesn't get bored with it, like he's got bored with the Jags and like he's got bored with Fulham. Even though Fulham are going very well this season in the Championship and probably are going to go back up again. It'll just keep evolving. It'll keep getting better. But yeah, I don't like, you know, if Kurt Angle comes out on a show, it's like, okay, this is what every other company does. They bring back these legends, and you know, they put them in a prime slot for a little while, and they go away again. I'm more excited, I think, with AEW, of the new people. Because I think they have established themselves as a company now. So now's the time to start focusing on your own wrestlers or current wrestlers, as in debuting people who can still go and can still do a full-time schedule. I don't want them to get into a situation where the WWE in it, where Kurt Angle will come in and face like fucking Kenny Omega for the title on a part-time schedule, which they'd never do. I don't think they would ever do that. And Punk himself has said he's full-time, he's going to be there every week, because it's, you know, he only needs to go 1 day or 2 days.
Yeah.
So he's got all this other time that he can do other things. But yeah, that's that, when I heard like the Angle reaction and stuff, it's like, this part-time shit, you need to focus on your full-time guys, which they do. But it's one of them things where, you know, again, you're coming out of that abusive relationship. You've you've got no trust.
No, even zero trust. Zero trust. It'll take a long, 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 long time, I think, for people to, or like, well, I can only speak for myself, but like, it'll take a long time for me not to be expecting the worst case scenario out of everything.
Everything, yeah.
So, we'll see. Only time will tell on that one, but it'll take a while.
Oh, yeah.
Not to jump to the worst conclusion all the time. When you hear stuff like that, you're just like, all you can think about is, oh, God, what would they do with Angle? What'd they put, da-da-da-da-da? And I'm sure it would be great, and I'm sure it would end up working really well, and we probably then, you know, couldn't imagine them not having Angle in some capacity.
Yeah, yeah.
But right now, it just is like...
There's too many, like, potential...
Still winning me over at this stage.
There's too many potential debuts that are coming
that
are just too exciting. You know, and people that are knocking around and New Japan and Impact. And, you know, I want to see them go more down that road rather than the returning kind of superstar. Because they've got enough, I think, now. But again, it's one. Because he was asked that on the media call where it's like, you know, have you got a full roster? You know, when do you consider yourself having a full roster? And Khan was just like, there's no such thing as a full roster. Which is great to some degree.
Yeah.
But it also, he can't just keep throwing cash at it, because you know, but you know, they've got big deals and all that kind of stuff, and they're not paying these guys like massive amounts of money because they is letting them go off and do other things, so it is still all within the realms of that show. So we'll see. But yeah, I wouldn't be like, you know, shoes wouldn't be flying if Angle came out.
Nah.
For me, speaking of potential debuts, on Wednesday Lana took to Instagram to share a picture of her donning boxing gloves and not a lot else. But she captioned the photo with, 90 days is over. And you know what that means.
Interesting.
So, I think I've read that she was doing some sort of reality show. And it was part of this article, but I didn't clip it. Again, same question. You know, do you want to come in out with Miro?
I kind of do. I actually really do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it works so... You know, he's... If that's what's happening, he's been setting that up for weeks now by mentioning her. And I don't think they'll do a lot with her, to be honest. I think...
I don't think she'll be a regular.
I do. I think she will, but I don't think they'll do a lot with her wrestling-wise at the moment if she's coming in. I think she's just going to be in his corner and behind him. Funny promos, you know, like funny backstage video shit, and maybe then, you know, she'll have the odd, like, you know, dark, you know, match on dark.
That's
and all
exactly
that. Build
what
her up,
I would do.
Just build her up that way, and, you know, have her just going on there that the odd time. So, but I do want to see her there, because I think, like, I've said it so many times, you know, it was so good. Them two are so good together in WWE. And you know, your wings are clipped in WWE. It's all getting written for you. So they were, you know, at the mercy of a script. And it would be interesting to see them both, you know, like, let loose and be able to come up with their own, you know, their own words and all that. And
so I think Miro's knocking it out of the park at the moment.
It's so fucking funny.
How can you boo this guy?
I know you can.
I mean, the only time you can boo him is maybe when he goes against Eddie Kingston. You know, but them two together, I think he's just... cash.
Yeah.
Absolute cash. Kingston and Miro have just been, and it's been one of them things where it's like been shoehorned in a little bit, it feels like. It hasn't had a long build. But what they've done, because they did a little bit last night, and it was just great. And like the whole story of it, which you've not seen, is the Miro's neck is the weak spot.
Yeah.
And he ends up DDTing him. Miro, like, wakes up as if he's been, like, knocked out. Like, it was so funny.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that match.
Yeah.
I really am. And I do want CJ to come in.
I've got a feeling she'll come out on Sunday.
Yeah, so I'm like... Because I think, like, the only thing that the women's division is lacking, that Britt Baker is completely, like... holding up her side of the bargain,
yeah,
is the personalities and the silliness and the fun and all that, you know, a bit like character stuff.
Yeah, like the Elite.
Yeah, they just need a little bit more character stuff. You know, you've got a lot of, like, people who are fantastic wrestlers and people who do a great job of coming in, smiling and leaving, but they've not got a lot of talkers who are really good at talking. And yeah. I think she is. So.
Oh, she's and the best, she's funny. And she did it in a Russian accent for fuck's sake.
Yeah, and I've just they're missing that. They need that element. You know, not every woman who comes in needs to be a fantastic show-stealing wrestler.
No.
You know, you need to have some humour in there. You know, there needs to be different aspects of the women's division.
Yeah.
And they do need some personalities.
Yeah, definitely. Do you know what I think might be an interesting thing? Is if she does the Russian thing.
Yeah.
But because she is fluent in Russian, isn't she? But she still has her American accent when she's talking in English. So she talks in Russian and English. So she's not like a character who is a Russian woman.
Mm.
It's I'm CJ and I can talk Russian as well.
Yeah.
And she just like shouting in Russian at, you know, people.
She instructs him in Russian sort of thing when he's wrestling and all that shit. Yeah, I just think it's got potential, and I am intrigued to see if she is going there. I'm intrigued to see what them two come up with together when they do those promos, because I think they'll be hilarious.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because she can even say shit like, you know, I only lay down for my husband. And do you know what I mean?
If they both get in on it, like, it's great. So we'll see.
And they'll be able to come up with their own shit, which is the main thing. So last bit of news for AEW, other than the fact that they've got millions of shows and millions of debuts coming up, which I'm sure we'll get into. But Fightful Select reported that Baker and AEW have agreed a contract extension. Doesn't say what the deal is or the length, which we don't need to know. All we need to know is that Britt Baker has re-signed.
Yeah, no surprise there, really.
Which is great. So let's get into All Out, shall we? So let's get into the tweets first. We've got at Chris Horrocks, 31, who's put Thunder Rosa to win the Battle Royal. QT beats Paul White. I think you might be onto something there, Chris. Moxley the Week. Moxley the Week wins. I don't quite get that, mate, but I'm sure it's a pun of some sort.
Is it a pun on Mox the Week?
Moxley of the Week. There you go. Yeah, well done, Chris. Well done. Bray Wyatt gets involved in the Bucks match to cost him. I don't know if his non-compete clause is up, but there's way too many debuts on this show, probably. So, but it would be amazing if that happened. DMD hits the DDT for the win. MJF beats Jericho. Kenny beats Christian clean. hilarious. And he's put about the Punk and Darby match. Punk Darby to end in a no contest as Sting attacks them both. So he thinks a Sting heel turn's coming. Axel_JMO has put, I've got all the champs to retain. For me, the tag match will be the match of the night. And then he put, yeah, I don't know why I wrote all champs retain. I was thinking the Lucha Bros will win and I want them to win. Can't see any other champs losing, so maybe Lucha Boys win. Can see the Bucks avoiding it by trying to escape the cage in a shitty way. I think that match is going to be awesome. At Lee Price 1989 has put, I have the Lucha Brothers winning. And then his last comment is Daniel Bryan. So that's what you guys think. So what do we think? So first up, it was going to be on the buy-in, now it's going to be on the main show, and I've not put the new match in for the buy-in because I am massively unprofessional. So let me just quickly get that up. So we've got the actual buy-in now. Have you updated it? You have. So the actual buy-in now is going to be Chuck Taylor, Wheeler Yuta, Orange Cassidy and Jurassic Express versus Matt Hardy, TH2 and Private Party in a 10-man tag, which I think the faces are going over there.
I would say so.
Poor Matt Hardy, though. He's losing every fucking match he's in. Crazy. So obviously this is not going to be like the main kind of order, and I've still got fucking Andrade versus Pac on there. So let me get rid of that. So we'll just go through it in the list that we've got on here. So Women's Casino Battle Royal. So currently announced. Let me go back to the other one, actually, because mine will be massively out of date now. So we've got Nyla Rose, Julia Hart, Big Swole, The Bunny, Thunder Rosa, Red Velvet, Ty Conte, Penelope Ford, Diamante, Hikaru Shida, Emi Sakura, Jade Cargill, Kira Hogan, Abaddon, Kira Lynn, Layla Hirsch, Anna Jay. I think they announced there was. I think they announced somebody from outside of the company. Blue something. So unprofessional. but then more to be announced. So obviously we've got the Joker card. The Joker card is very highly rumoured to be
Ruby Soho. Yeah. Which will be good.
Who wins that? I think Thunder Rosa from Chris is a good shout. Because yeah. I think they're dying to do Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker.
Yeah, I think it would be a logical choice.
But I don't know why they're not doing it on this show. Like, I know Chris Statlander has got, you know, a fan base and all that kind of stuff, but on a show where you're trying to bring out... It feels like the show itself is a great. Is going to be great.
Mm.
But it's that thing that we said on the last show, is like, are they capitalising on the fact that Punk's on it? And I don't think they are. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So yeah, I think Thunder Rose is a good shout. I don't, because the Joker's not been winning. They've just been like a good addition, like Leo Rush on the last one, and Ethan Page was one before that, I think. But yeah, I think Thunder Rose is a good shout.
Yeah, I do too.
So next up, MGF versus Jericho. If Jericho loses, he can never wrestle in AEW again, but it says on the graphic he will never wrestle again. So mixed messages I'm getting from this one. Jericho's got to win this, hasn't he?
I think so. I've got a feeling he's going to win. I don't know, though.
They stick to the stipulations, but it's that that kind of, I was thinking about this the other day when, you know, the Punk thing and a couple of other stuff, and they do the 1% really well, is what I was thinking. Because 99% of the time, you know what's coming, or you know, not with finishes and who's going to win and that kind of stuff necessarily, but 99% of the time, you know something's happening.
Mm.
So, you know, first dance, CM Punk, but it's that 1% of you not quite sure that makes all the difference. Because if they'd announced CM Punk for that show, the pop wouldn't have nearly been as big.
Mm.
It'd be what it is now, which is just a big cheer, which is, you know, biggest cheer you're getting on the night, but it's still just a big cheer. It's not like mass pandemonium.
Mm.
So, obviously, when he says, oh, I'll never wrestle again, you think, well, Jericho's winning then. But MJF has been so strong, and he's never been beaten, really.
Mm.
And, you know, you've got a guy who, coming out of this rivalry, you know, if the last match would have been the last match, it should have been MJF versus Punk All Out. Like Kyle said, you know, totally on the money with that's what it should have been. And I think very rarely when it comes to AEW and it comes to booking, am I saying, well, it should have been that.
Mm.
But I think for this pay-per-view, it feels like there's a few things, because the kind of, you know, plans change and they're trying to fit things in and all that kind of stuff. Still really good, but there's been a few things here where I'm like, oh, it should have been this. And this is one of them. I don't think they should be doing it again, but it makes everybody interested in it. But I do think Jericho's going over.
Yeah, I do too.
Next, we've got Jon Moxley versus Kojima. So, Kojima, when it was announced, I was like, okay, it's cool, but it's not Okada. It's not Ibushi, but obviously they've got all their Wrestle Grand Slam stuff coming up this weekend, so they couldn't have done that anyway. But every time they show the graphic for Moxley and Kojima, the crowd go mad. And they only do it one other time, and that's when CM Punk's face turns up.
Mm.
So I'm really looking forward to this now. And they did a little press conference where they were fighting. And And Kojima's great, but he's tarnished himself by touching Impact. No, I'm joking. I'm not messing. But yeah, he's not been on AEW. He was on Impact, so it's his first time sort of in AEW. And I think Moxley's winning, but I think it's going to be a good match.
I think Moxley's winning that.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any danger. But I do think it'll be good.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Kojima's reaction, like.
Yeah, the crowd.
Yeah, yeah. Because if he gets a massive reaction, you know, imagine if fucking Naito walks out or something like that. But, you know, but I do think that something else is going to happen in this.
Okay.
Like, there's going to be, like, a video package or something like that, because they're advertising Moxley massively for Dynamite next Wednesday, because it's in Cincinnati, it's his hometown. He's been going on about this Forbidden Door for weeks and weeks and weeks. Mm-hmm. Is he going to be, because he's not in the title picture at the moment, is he going to be the guy that is the Forbidden Door guy?
Yeah.
So, if he's doing something big on the Dynamite next week, is it going to be Tanahashi finally, or... You know, who knows? But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Paul White versus QT Marshall.
Okay, so this is probably the one I'm least interested in.
Yeah.
Of all of the matches, really. Which is a bit unfair, but I'm not a fan of QT Marshall.
No.
Not really. I don't know why I'm not, but I'm just not. Because he says all the right things, you know, does all the right things, but I just don't think I'm asked. But I don't know. I actually don't know who's going to win this. Who do you think is going to win?
See, I think, and I'm probably wrong, but I can't shake, like, my first... when it was first put together.
Mm.
And since then, they've been doing a lot to kind of... push it towards this. Is this the reason why this is the match I'm least looking forward to? Is because I think it's going to be the most like WWE style match, because that's the way they've been doing it. That stupid distraction roll up.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean the Gun Club turning was nuts. Like, it was genuinely shocking, because I thought, because I've seen and I've been tweeting a few people about this. I was kind of, when I was up late and, you know, watching an Observer, I was in the chat, like, chatting away with people. And people are legit like, oh, this was shit. This was crap. I'm completely the other way.
Mm.
Because for me, like, so Big Show's there, he's getting beat down. He clears the ring. Gun Club come to help. And they could have done a better job at hammering it up. But the whole point of that little bit of it for me was that Gun Club come and help, but Big Show's cleared everybody. So what they needed to do then is kind of look around and say, oh, well done, you know, that type of thing. So it was a bit of a comic moment. But then when he hits him with a chair, it's like, oh, right, okay, so the Gun Club have turned now. Are they with the factory? Are they not? They kind of didn't even mention it on Rampage last night, which was weird.
Right.
So that's what leads me a little bit away from my original prediction, but I still think it's going to happen. I think Paul White and QT are going to have a match. It's going to be a very short match. Agogo's going to come out and knock Paul White out.
Okay, I see.
That's what I think is going to happen.
Mm.
And then Paul White will be back to being behind the desk for a little bit. And that, if that happens, it's like one of them where you're like, okay, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, so I think either QT Marshall will win.
Mm-hmm.
Or Paul, because of that, or Paul White will win, and then Agogo will come and knock him out.
Right. Okay. That's interesting.
So, because it's a non-title match, I'm guessing why it's so low down in the card. Punk against Allen.
So they're going to set something up here, because they have to establish. They've got to establish a heel in the situation by any means possible. So someone, whether it's Punk, Darby or Sting, is coming out of this as a big heel.
Okay.
In my opinion. I do think it's going to end up setting up Punk, Sting.
Right.
That's my thought on it.
Yeah.
You're distracted by something. You're looking at me top.
Yeah, it was your top I was looking at.
I was like, have I got something on me? You're just looking at my tits.
Yeah. So, what I think is going to happen here... So, it's one of them things, it's like, if they turn Punk now, it doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
Because, again, they're doing that thing of, You know, it's like a Becky Lynch comes back, she's the biggest person ever, she's a heel instantly. So you have, every time they put a mega face heel, you're halving your revenue like straight away. And with the casuals, like, you know, we're still going to buy t-shirts and all that kind of shit. Yeah, Malakai Black's getting cheered out of every building he's in when he's blatantly a heel, like kicking Arn in the bollocks. Yeah, he's still selling some of the t-shirts. So maybe for AEW, that won't be that big of a deal. I just think they want to ride this train a little bit longer. The thing that then counters that for me is that Bryan Danielson is going to turn up at some point. Whether it's, you know, tomorrow night, or I keep thinking it's tonight.
So do I. I wish it was.
Yeah, me too. Actually, no. No, I don't.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Yeah, fuck that. So Punk may turn heel because of Superface coming in. So it's a weird one. In my head, it's going to go one of two ways. It's going to be a decent match. Punk's going to just scrape it. 2.0 and Garcia fly out before the finish,
right.
And it's a DQ type thing,
yeah,
which will be a shame. But there's still, you know, like on Dynamite, you know, Sting said, or you know, I've come out to help because we're clearing the road, we're getting all these things out the way so you two can just have a match. And then, you know, the last in shot of Rampage is 2.0 and Daniel Garcia beating up Darby. Sting takes Garcia out into the crowd, and then Punk comes down the ramp, doesn't get physically involved.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to recreate the Darby dive through the ropes to kill both of them because they're both together. But this time he had a little glance just to see where Darby was. I was like, fuck, mate, no, just stay.
I know.
But it was like a little glance. It was like, wasn't even worth doing, just to make sure they were in the right position.
Yeah.
But they're still involved. So the abused wrestling fan in me thinks that they're going to go 15 minutes and they're all going to fly out and it's going to be a disqualification and a no contest type thing. Because then that protects Darby. Because if Darby... I don't think it really matters if Darby takes the loss. But it kind of does as well. It's just... all of it just sits a bit oddly with me. So, I mean, obviously what they've got planned will be better than anything that we can come up with. But yeah. Odd.
We'll see. I'm excited, though.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's nearly clobbering time. I think Jericho said it on commentary as well last night. It's like Punk puts his headphones down and walks the ring, and Jericho's like, "It's clobbering time!"
So funny.
Oh yeah, God, he was all over it last night, Jericho. Jesus Christ, with his shouting and
he loves it, doesn't he?
He said, like, I'm sure it was a joke because he never said it again, but he said "out of the gate" about five times in the opening 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's got to get on it, out of the gate, out of the gate, and he just kept. I was like, oh my God. Oh, Jericho, please win so you don't have to be on commentary.
No, fucking hell.
Up next, Miro, Eddie Kingston.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to that very much.
Yeah. Miro retains via CJ interference.
Potentially, yeah.
Because that keeps Kingston strong. It just makes sense. Out comes the wife. She gives him a bit of a slap.
Oh, I hope she gets a big pop if she comes out.
I think she will.
I hope she does.
I'm sure, yeah, she absolutely will. And everyone's expecting it, hence why my first thing for the prediction is Miro wins via interference.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I hope that's right.
Yeah, me too. He's got to keep that belt for a bit.
Yeah, it's so funny.
But that would be the second title match that Kingston's had and he's lost, which is tough, but
don't matter.
He's still a star, he doesn't need a belt. So,
losing via interference never counts, does it?
No.
Don't count for shit.
No, but then we're getting into fucking WWE territory there.
True.
Did you see that article that was like how many rematches in the calendar year?
You told me that last week.
Yeah, so somebody did like a count, and obviously we're only in, you know, the 4th of September. They did a count and it was proper harsh as well. It wasn't like, you know, any rematch or anything like that. It was, it has to be one-on-one. it has to be 2-on-2 if it's a tag rematch.
Yeah.
You know, it can't be with other people. It's got to just be seeing the same match again.
Right, yeah.
And they did a count, it was like AEW's like 14 rematches throughout the entire year. So it's pay-per-view and TV against WWE's 160.
Wow. That's insane, isn't it?
Yeah. It is
good
insane.
Lord.
That's why I don't watch it. So potentially the greatest match of all time next, because they obviously want to top the ladder match that they had. So it's Bucks and the Lucha Bros steel cage. So Khan has guaranteed, in a very Vince McMahon way, to the crowd off camera,
yeah,
guaranteed that there'll be no interference.
Okay.
Which, I'm like the guys who have tweeted us, I'm leaning towards the Lucha Bros having their big win and big moment.
Mm.
But then that doesn't make sense in the terms of the Andrade story. Because his thing is, you'll never win a championship with this guy as your boss, even though he's not the boss.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes that storyline completely irrelevant then, because then they're doing the match on Rampage. So that doesn't make a lot of sense. So, really, after saying that, I'm leaning more towards the Bucks retaining.
Okay.
But apparently no interference.
Hmm.
What do you think?
I mean, you know my feelings on these cage matches. I don't like them because I can't see what's going on. And it's even shitter for the crowd because they can't really see. Just putting a barrier in place. So I'm sure it'll be great. I don't know which way it's going to go. It isn't. It could go either way.
Yeah.
I am leaning more towards the Bucks, though, retaining.
Yeah.
But fuck knows some of the spots they're going to be doing in there.
I mean, if Phoenix will probably just run round the top of the cage, there's going to be some nuts shit
in it. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be fucking crazy. If, you know, like, don't like cage matches, but this one is interesting.
Yeah. And it depends, because it makes sense with all the interference and stuff, but it depends what the stipulation is. So, are they allowing pins and submissions?
Mm.
Or can you escape the cage to win? You know, because like, it's mad because, like, you know, we've been conditioned with the whole abusive place of, like, you know, I saw the Observer guys talking about, like, a tag match where it was the Hardys against the Dudleys on some pay-per-view in a cage. And the first 5 minutes, they're doing like a normal tag match.
Right.
And they're both like stood. But the rules were pinfall, submission, or escape the cage. So you got two people stood on the outside waiting for a tag that could just have whopped up the cage and jumped out. So they're doing a match with tag team rules in a no disqualification match. It's just completely fucking sideways thinking.
Yeah.
But then that quickly breaks down and they all get in to get their shit in. But yeah, because I don't know what the rules are going to be.
Mm.
So can they just pin, or do they have to escape the cage? So, and they've not, to my knowledge, they've not said that. If they did something where it's a cage match, the only reason why the cage is there is to keep people out,
yeah,
but it's pinfall or submission. No disqualification, pinfall or submission. You can't win just by escaping. Perfect.
Yeah.
Then that's great. But yeah, we'll see. Yeah, fuck knows. Fuck knows what's going to happen there.
Hmm. Interesting.
It is interesting.
It's a really good card. Like, I'm quite excited about most of it.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited for pretty much all of it,
if I'm
honest. Next, AEW's Women's Championship, Britt Baker, Chris Statlander.
I don't think there's any danger of Britt losing
the
title there.
It's one of them things of weak challenger again.
Yeah.
Which is why Thunder Rosa would have been a better...
Agree, totally. Yeah, it would have been there'd been more of a question mark over that one.
Yeah.
Like, oh, are they going to pull the trigger now on Thunder Rosa? But I just don't think... I just can't see Statlander getting... I'm sure it'll be a great match, and I'm sure it'll be competitive. But, yeah, I think we know who's winning that. And if we're wrong, then fuck me, that's nuts.
If we're wrong, if we're wrong, it's a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, in my opinion, but you know, it's neither here nor there. But yeah, I think it's good that Chris Statlander's getting this spotlight,
because
She's obviously in a very face cheery team with the best friends and that kind of stuff. But
yeah,
Britt Baker retains for me. So main event, potentially the most interesting one, this. Not for the match, because we know which, I think we know which way the match is going to go, but for what happens at the end. So AEW World Heavyweight Championship, Omega and Cage. So I think Omega's going over.
Absolutely, yeah.
Without a shadow of a doubt. You know, Christian's got his Impact title. He's fine. He's good. He don't need to.
Yeah.
I hope he comes to the ring with his Impact title. He kind of has been on the show, so I hope he comes out like that, because it'll give it a bit more of a big fight feel. So Omega wins, some sort of shenanigans will ensue, like Cutler will have the spray out in Cage's face or some shit, something like that will happen. Is Bryan Danielson coming out?
I mean, it seems so, because I don't know, I have a feeling he might.
All roads are pointing to this now, which is really interesting, because, you know, we've been told a couple of months ago his debut was 100% Arthur Ashe, and now all of a sudden, a week before, plans have kind of changed, it seems like, and everybody's saying he's coming out on this show. Which leads to potentially CM Punk turning heel for me.
I don't think they'll go against each other.
Do you think they will?
No, I really don't. I really, really don't. I just think...
Everybody would want to see that, though.
Of course they would. Of course they would. I just... There's a big part of me that... If they do, I don't think it'll be anytime soon. It'll be like next year or something like that. Because
yeah,
I think that the wrestlers who are coming into AEW tend to be quite in agreement that they want to wrestle the AEW talent and not just come in and face each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that would be particularly front of mind for Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. You don't just want to come in and hijack the show when they've got all... I'm sure they'll be hyper aware of that. And I get the impression that AEW don't do that.
No.
So I can't see that happening. I think Daniel Bryan will go into a program with someone else.
Well, from the rumours, he's straight into an AEW World Championship promo with Omega. Yeah.
Which works, which totally, totally works. And I think you keep them away from each other, Punk and Bryan, for a little longer.
Yeah.
And when like Punk is more established as a full-time guy there, then you do it a bit further down the line, so it doesn't feel like you're just signing these people so they can wrestle each other.
Yeah.
What about the stars you've built and all that shit? You know, totally. You end up in bad territory, I think, there. So, yeah. Going in again, I mean, it'd be very exciting if that happens.
And, you know, he's desperate to be in the G1. Malakai Black's come out and said he's desperate to be in the G1, which may be why Malakai's not getting anything major. Who the fuck knows? But yeah, I think Omega wins. He's posturing what's it called? Flight of the Valkyries start. Yeah. If it is Flight of the Valkyries, how fucking funny.
So funny. Well, he can use it.
Absolutely.
You can't copyright something that old, can you? So.
No.
Interesting stuff.
It is. And it's already trending to be like their biggest pay-per-view ever. You know, the buys have apparently been insane. What insane looks like to them, is it 300,000, 400,000? I think it potentially, because I've seen like loads of like WWE account, you know, those fucking like role play accounts and all
that.
All those fucking dweebs that are just like, you know, that their tag is like Bliss Forever or whatever the fuck it is, saying, oh, I've bought all out.
Yeah,
so
well, you know,
that's,
it's
they can fuck off then.
No, they can fuck off. But money's money, innit?
Money's money. Money is fucking money. We can get more into it in a bit if you want to let me rattle through this New Japan.
Can I have a
news.
Wee while you do that, please?
Yeah, go for it. So the New Japan news I've got for you guys this week is Strong is moving from a Friday to a Saturday, which is a great fucking move, in my opinion, because it was on last night at the same time as Rampage. Daniel Garcia was on both shows. So he faced Josh Alexander on Strong, and he was obviously in the main event of this one. So, you know, he's got teleportation device. He could have got there in time, but the well taped in advance. But they've announced that it'll move from Friday at 10 to a new slot on Saturday at 8, even though it's on New Japan World, so they can technically put it on when they want and Fight TV. But that begins September 18th, which I think is a very good move. It's just to get out of the way of that, have your own day. I think ROH did the same thing because they were sort of midweek and now have moved to like the weekend, but whatever day they want, it seems like for that. So Wrestle Grand Slam, I've got both cards up. One card's already happened, but I've not seen it, so I'll run through that quickly as well. Stardom exhibition match. That apparently, from the tweets, went down really well. Kevin Kelly, Chris Charlton calling that. Quite a lot of people asking them to do more. I do think the English commentators for Stardom are great. So it'd be a bit of a shame if, you know, they got everything, but it that's the way it goes. I mean, I'd love for Stardom to be on New Japan World as well, to be a part of that. I don't think they're going to do that because they obviously offer their own service. But it'd be interesting to see what they do going forward. You had Robbie Eagles and Tiger Mask versus Takahashi and Bushi. Sho versus Yo, which I'm really looking forward to. The I Quit match between Chase Owens and Toriano for the provisional KOPW 2021. Okada versus Cobb, I'm sure was awesome. I can't wait to watch that. And Tanahashi against Ibushi for the US heavyweight title. Tomorrow morning, I should say. So technically before All Out is. Let me have a look see if I've got everything. So you got another pre-show Stardom exhibition match, which is great to see. Okada and Ishii against Jeff Cobb and Great Okan. Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships of Ishimori and El Fantasmo against El Desperado and Katamaru, which will be great. Heavyweight Tag Team Titles, Taishi Zack Sabre Jr. versus Goto and Yoshihashi versus Naito and Sanada. That will be great. Junior Heavyweight Title Match of Eagles against Takahashi. And then your IWGP World Heavyweight Title, Shingo Takagi versus Evil. So apart from that main event, because Evil hasn't really, I think, established himself as being a main event caliber guy, but maybe he does it in this, because can you have a bad match against Shingo Takagi? I don't think you can, but I'm looking forward to both, and I may even watch both back to back. I might leave it until like lunchtime tomorrow when I'm back and just watch them both back to back. But it's whether or not I can stay away from the results, because it does matter. The results do matter. So the fact that, you know, I kind of went, oh, it's still live before and turned it on and saw somebody. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. So I ruined one of the matches for myself. But it's, it's a fucking crazy weekend in wrestling. It really is. Absolutely nuts weekend. So back to kind of AEW for a second. Mm. And I don't quite know what to say, if I'm honest, because we've kind of gone through the predictions, we've gone through everything. But a sort of a general question, which I thought might have been interesting to go over with you, unless I can find anything better, is just how this is going to play out. So obviously, you know, we're in that mindset of being abused and all that kind of shit. At the moment, AEW is like super exciting. You know, potentially we've got months and months and months of this level of excitement because of the debuts and all that kind of stuff. Cautiously, is there going to be a situation where, you know, you're having all these debuts and everybody's coming out and they're getting big reactions and it's doing great business? The negative kind of question is, because of all these debuts and because of everything that's going on and everything like that, is there going to be a time when, say, a Bray Wyatt comes out and it's crickets? Because everyone's like, ah, this is like the 12th new debut. I'm a bit done with all this shit.
I mean, I think there's been quite a lot. And to sort of like, you know, Sting came out last, like, December or whatever it was, November time. You know, the next big one really has been Punk, and you've gone in on a very high sort of like level. Yeah. Someone who's been out of wrestling for 7 years, you know, fans didn't get their, you know, didn't get any answers. I think it's always going to be tempered after that now, even Daniel Bryan to a certain extent, because nothing's bigger than CM Punk coming back to wrestling.
Yeah.
It just isn't. You know, to the fans of people like, you know, Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt, it'll be huge, but it won't be that big moment again. So it's going to appear like people aren't, I think, going forward, whoever comes out.
Yeah.
Just because of what a huge moment that was. But I think that wrestling, for me, because I'm more of a fan of the pomp of it and you're more of a fan of the wrestling.
Yes.
So, you know, WWE should be in my wheelhouse, but they don't even get the pomp right.
You've still got to book it coherently.
Yeah, it's got to, yeah, it's got to make some sense. But I think a lot of people are like massively, massively into the pomp side of it and the drama and all that shit. And I think surprises are part of it. The amount of times when we were going through doing predictions for WWE shows, and it would always be like, oh, what if such and such comes out?
Yeah.
For me, it's built on those moments. And I think those, I was always disappointed by how infrequent they were. And in a way, NXT sort of like took away the mystique of someone debuting, because, you know, aside from like AJ Styles, most people came through NXT.
Yeah.
And you knew when they had a big loss, they're going up. So there was never really a surprise of anyone coming for ages. And we knew about Styles, you know, the Hardys was a big, you know, it was kind of a surprise. But that WrestleMania, everyone take a drink, that WrestleMania was what it was because of the Hardys moment. There was nothing else. Are you having some food?
Yeah, so it's quite mad.
How many of them chicken things are left?
Quite a lot.
Can I have one?
Yeah.
I know we're doing the podcast, but I'm fucking hungry as well.
Yeah, my stomach's just going mad.
Thanks. So for me, the like wrestling's built on that, and the more you can do that, the better. I don't think it even matters sometimes how massively popular they are. I think just a surprise is just it's a key essential part of wrestling for me. So I would never get bored with them, you know, introducing people, because you're not introducing people on huge permanent contracts. They might just come and do a match and then be in there sporadically as they go and do other shit. Then it's great. It's like the more the better for me. What about you? Oh, I'm going to eat my chicken thing.
Dry. let me have a little drink of water.
Cloying, one might say.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I was trying to be like devil's advocate there. Because, you know, this is the issue that I've kind of got at the moment is for AEW to grow, they need to appeal to the casual. And after, Jesus Christ, chicken all in my mouth.
Oh, God.
After,
so professional, aren't we?
I know, yeah, fuck it. But I didn't want to just finish there. I mean, I've just loaded up a rag sheet that's got a couple of news stories, which I'll go through as well. Just quick ones. But I'll do that at the end. So I saw, you know, Axel, when we're talking about the CM Punk return and all that kind of stuff, Axel said he went back and he listened to the Colt Cabana Punk podcast.
Mm.
And I was like, oh yeah, shit, I need to go back and listen to that just for like a, you know, a frame of reference and just see if anything that he said, you know, way back in 2013 kind of holds true now. And then I forgot about it. And then I did do it a couple of days ago. I went back and I listened to it, and you listened to some of it as well. And I thought he said something really interesting when he was talking about like merch sales and that the fact that they turned him heel with the whole Rock Cena situation. He's like, you know, I'm outselling John Cena on t-shirts here, and you want to turn me heel now? Which again, what we kind of said before, you know, Malakai Black's t-shirt is in the top, you know, it's the best selling t-shirt, if you believe them, what they say, behind CM Punk at the moment. So to us as the wrestling fans, it doesn't matter if the face or the heel. It's, you know, are they doing good shit? Does the t-shirt look cool?
Yeah.
But to the casual fans, it makes a big difference. And he kind of said on that podcast as, you know, as soon as I turn heel, you're going to have my royalty checks because, you know, the casual fan is going to stop. But, you know, like he said something like 6-year-old Timmy's not going to want to buy my t-shirt anymore.
Yeah.
So when that happens and you're making decisions based on, and I'm not saying AEW are going to do this, but when you're making decisions based on the casual fan, it becomes a different show.
Mm.
And that's what I'm a little bit worried about. And I'm not like worried to the point where, you know, do I think this is going to happen? No, I just thought it would be an interesting kind of talking point for the podcast. Is I don't want, and it's very selfish, it's a very selfish opinion this, is I don't want AEW to cater to the casual fan. Mm. Because I don't like the casual fan. Because the casual fans are Raw and SmackDown viewers who will literally eat anything they get fed. Not all Raw and SmackDown viewers, please, before you get annoyed. I'm not saying all, you know who I mean. But like, I don't want them to start trying to cater to those people because that's something that I don't enjoy. And they're doing it. They're doing it with Big Show and QT Marshall with a shit bullshit roll-up finish. You know, it's like, oh, QT's distracted by Big Show at the commentary table and gets rolled up and beaten.
Mm.
I don't fucking want to see it. You know, AEW has got ridiculously high quality wrestlers. Do WWE have ridiculously high quality wrestlers? Absolutely. You know, I've just seen a story that they're thinking about bringing the Demon back for Balor Reigns.
Mm.
So the Demon's going to get fucking squashed, which has just made me even more angry. But anyway, you know, if you're going to beat him, don't put the Demon in there because he's a great character. But anyway, but that's the problem, is you keep up in the stakes, but for your main guy still to win type
thing.
Yeah. And that's what I think, it's very easy to fall into that category of maybe a 2 or 3 years down the line where AEW is trying to cater to everybody. And when they try and cater, when companies historically try and cater to everybody, they cater to nobody.
Mm.
So I, for purely selfish reasons, I don't want them to do that. Yeah, try and get the casual fan to watch. But like right now, Dynamite's getting over 1 million an episode. The TV networks are insanely happy with them. You know, obviously the debut Rampage did a decent sort of 700,000. Then the 1.2, 1.4 when Punk was out.
Mm.
And then obviously the Dynamites have kind of slipped back to that 1 million range again. That's enough for me. You know, as long as you guys can keep going.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're a business. They want to keep growing. They want to keep growing their fan base and all that kind of stuff. I just hope they do it in the right way.
Mm.
I don't want them to do it in a way that's like, okay, we're going to get Jake Paul on a show and, you know, like the other guys are doing at the moment. Like, that's the sort of shit that I need them to stay away from.
Yeah.
Because I'll very quickly turn on them then.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it is what it is type thing. But that's the only worry that I have with them trying to, because it seems like they're trying to expand, like, incredibly quickly.
Yeah.
And it's not a kind of an organic, let's try and chip away. It's all the eggs are, it feels like all the eggs are in this basket, and if it doesn't work, it's going to implode.
Yeah.
But that's me being very, like, was it pessimistic? Is that the right
word? Yeah, I suppose what's happening, you know, in the latter half of this year for AEW is not sustainable. Like, they're doing a lot very quickly. And the reasons are because right now, WWE is going through such a transitional process, like a transitional sort of point, that a lot of talent is becoming available very quickly. That won't happen ever again on WWE's side either. Because once they get into their groove, the wrestlers who are there will be happy to be there.
Yeah.
They won't be asking for releases, you know, as much as what's happening now. The ones, you know, who are happy having the golden handcuff deal where they don't have get to do anything else. They don't want to go to New Japan because they're not really wrestlers, and you know what I mean. Like it will stop. That'll come to an end. But right now, it's open season for all wrestling companies.
Yeah,
and they are like talent grabbing where they can, and these people who they could only dream of having, like Impact could only dream of potentially Bray Wyatt coming on.
And that's the story, is that he's going Impact, he ain't going
crazy.
To AEW. Yeah.
Crazy, but like they couldn't even have entertained that, you know, a year ago. And now it's like you've got all this like these mad names who are like they're not having to poach them. These people are just available.
Yeah, yeah.
It will never happen again. And AEW, of course, have like jumped on the back of it. They've managed to, you know, woo Punk after a couple of years of trying, and it's because he's liked what he's seen.
Yeah.
You know, they've got, you know, Daniel Bryan by all intents and purposes.
Adam Cole. Yeah.
But it's, they have to. You've got to, you know, the whole strike while the iron's hot or whatever the expression is. This period isn't going to be sustainable for any company. It's just mad.
Yeah, yeah.
This 2021 year will be looked back on as a frenzy of like signing talent and people leaving and all of that. So anything that they get off the back of this, it is going to temper, and it is the more interesting thing to look at is what they do at the start of 2022. You know, when things start to calm down, you've got everyone who's ever going to leave WWE has now left. So the big names have gone. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So that'll be the interesting time of then what they do with those people. And if they do, like you say, get het up on having to always have guests and surprises, or whether they just, you know, use what they've got. And they did use what they've got. When they first launched, they weren't reliant on signing new people every week. And it was a really popular show.
Yeah.
And the pandemic hit, and obviously it took a bit of a bashing in the ratings and stuff because they didn't have a crowd. So time will tell on it, but you know, all these companies, of course, they're going to be having a weird, unsustainable period of time where huge stars are joining their ranks.
Definitely, and one thing that kind of leads into that is New Japan have announced Wrestle Kingdom for this year, for January.
Yeah.
It's going to be 3 nights.
Shit.
So the 4th and 5th of January and the 8th of January.
Right, okay.
So they're doing 2 nights in the Tokyo Dome, and then they've got 1 night in Yokohama Arena. So it's like 3 nights for Wrestle Grand Slam, but it's technically a Wrestle Grand Slam, that's this one, Wrestle Kingdom. So the Tokyo Dome one is the one that they really want to do, and then God knows what they're doing at this arena, you know, three, four nights later. But that to me says, we know we've got a load of people coming. From abroad, we're going to do 3 nights rather than two. Or one, which there was rumours of it just being a one-night show.
Shit.
During like the pandemic thing, because obviously Japan's still in a bit of a state of flux. They've got no idea. So for them to announce it's 3 nights, to me says half of AEW are going.
Yeah, I would say so. Because it's a big part of the reason why a lot of people are there in AEW, so they get to do that shit.
Yeah,
and because
definitely.
There's a working partnership, it's like really easy.
Yeah.
You know, well, not really, but it'd be a lot easier to, you know, to get on these shows that these people are really, you know, really want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Particularly ones coming out of WWE who've been able to do nothing for so many years, like Daniel Bryan.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
A huge part of why you'd be there.
I mean, that if he wants to go in that G1, it's a lot of fucking matches, that G1. Just a quick thing on the person who got announced to be in the Casino Battle Royal, Sky Blue, it was.
Okay.
She got a huge pop on the Dark tapings from Chicago on the Friday show. She wrestled Red Velvet. The match is going to air on Tuesday. But they apparently tore the house down, according to a correspondent here. The fans heavily booed Velvet.
Shit.
Which is crazy. Cheering for Sky Blue all the way. I don't know what the backstory with this Sky Blue girl, whether she's a Chicago native or just a big indie wrestler or what it is. After the match, Khan came out and said, we want you in the battle royal. But yeah, apparently the crowd were just going nuts for her. So that's a cool move. So a new female wrestler that I've not heard of before. So that's really good. But yeah, I think my thoughts on it, it's all just looking a bit too good at the moment.
I know.
It's one of them things where
you're just waiting for it to all, like, you know, come crashing down in a way.
Yeah.
Are you searching for what can go wrong? How they're going to fuck this up?
Yeah, and it's not necessarily like fucking it up, because if they want to compete with WWE, they're going to have to get on that level.
Mm.
They're going to have to appeal to the casual wrestling fans to get to those sort of numbers. So if you're hitting 2 million, 1.8, 2.2, which is what WWE have been hitting the last couple of weeks, even though they're false advertising, so fuck them. You know, they still eat it. They still fucking eat it. I'm sure SmackDown last night had like 2 million viewers again, forgetting that they tuned in last week to see Brock Lesnar, and then he was advertised, and then they don't fucking put him on the show. They're just scumbags. That's the type of shit that I want to. If AEW starts doing that, then I'm fucking out. And
Me too. I can't be arsed anymore. I just can't be bothered with that shit.
But they're not. I think they're going to do that? No. I don't think they're going to consistently false advertise to sell more tickets and to get more viewers and then not follow through on things. But that's the worry. That's the only worry at this point, is that they're wanting to get those casual fans. And Khan's physically said it. He said the casual fans, returning fans, getting people back into wrestling again and all that kind of stuff. And like I said, it's a very, very selfish way of looking at it. Because you want them to grow as a business. You want them to gain more and more fans. You know, you want those people to be involved. But I hope they can still retain the high quality wrestling and coherent storylines with it. And they don't just, you know, say get to 1.3, 1.4 a week, which may happen after the Bryan debut. And, you know, Dynamite might be up to 1.3. 1.4 on a regular basis once it's all kind of settled in. Do I think it will? Probably not. I'm thinking 1.2 is the ceiling, unless you're going to start going down that road, or you get somebody who's like massively over. Because Punk's over with the mainstream media, but they're not getting like 2 million on a Wednesday night in a decent time slot. You know, they're getting just over a million.
Yeah,
and that's because nothing's going on. Everything's like in a holding pattern. It's weird. Well, I say nothing's going on, but they're building up to this huge pay-per-view. But I mean, nothing's going on with Punk. It's just a match against Darby.
Yeah,
you know, it's not this great 6-month-long storyline like with the Hangman Page, or with, you know, potentially a Thunder Rosa when they want to pull the trigger on that. So yeah, it is. I have got that niggle in the back of my head of just, you know, Brian and Punk are obviously wrestlers, so that's not a big deal. But there's all sorts of rumours of like Braun Strowman turning up, which I'm not interested in.
I think he'd be good on Impact, I really do.
Well, he's announced he's, and I know Axel likes him, but you know, he's the epitome of this, like the choo choo train guy, but obviously that's not his fault. But like, he's doing a match with EC3 on his like Free the Narrative or whatever it was, or Control the Narrative, I can't remember. So he's doing that, which Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona, oh fucking Matt Cardona, we need to get into him in a second. So he's doing that with them. So I am just feeling a little bit like, you know, this is great right now, but I think it's since we did the, and thank you guys, by the way, for listening to the NXT RIP episode. It's been the most popular thing we've put up for a long time.
And highly timely as well.
Yes, yeah, considering Bruce and Vince are taking over. But yeah, I mean, it's nearly doubled the amount of listens of the previous podcast.
That's cool.
So that's really cool. Thanks so much for listening to that, guys. Yeah, quick one on Matt Cardona. Have you seen that fucking bell?
Yeah, you told me about it with his spinner. He's hilarious.
Such a
troll.
Axel just replied to it going, they're going to kill him.
He's such a fucking troll. He's loving it, isn't he?
He's living his best life.
As I said, he's doing heel the only way he can, like, legitimately be a heel, which is by being really annoying.
and proper like pro WWE.
Yeah, because he's not a natural heel. Like he's too. He can't be a bad guy.
No,
he just doesn't. He can't get away with that at all. But this is perfect.
A spinner belt.
Hilarious.
So for anyone who hasn't seen it, go and check out Matt Cardona's Twitter. He's literally changed the GCW title into one that looks like the John Cena spinner belt from back in the day, which is just the funniest shit. It's really great. Yeah, go and check that out. But yeah, I think I'm just being a bit like...
You're cautious. But we have to approach it with caution, I think, because we have had our fingers burnt and we were so heavily invested in WWE that I don't think we'll ever get to that level again with AEW. I don't think we have it in us because we've seen how badly it can go wrong and how we can, you know, it can just completely change. So although we love it, you know, and I've got all my eggs in the AEW basket. You have not, because you like New Japan. You know, you keep an eye on ROH.
Yeah.
But I am. I'll never be into it, and in the same way that I was when I was at the height. You know, and we were doing videos, fucking
reaction stuff.
You know, unboxing merch, sort of crap. You know, I'm never going to get to that point. I'm not going to fully mark out.
No.
I think I'm still a bit of like. Arm's length with me and wrestling.
Yeah.
Because of that. And it's now, because of the WWE kind of continuous disappointment, it's not on me anymore to like it. It's on them to tell me why I should like it. And if they don't, and if they do it wrong, I don't care who they are.
Yeah.
It's I don't like it. I'm not going to go out of my way to defend something or someone or... Like I think I probably used to, like with all the bad booking. It's like, oh, well, that set that up, you know, a bit disappointing, but whatever.
I think that was part of it, though. So, like, the whole kind of, you know, WWE run of, like, around the time of, like, the WrestleMania and your NXTs and all that kind of stuff is the thing with, and it might be why they do it, the thing with, like, bad booking and bad booking decisions is it gets everybody on Twitter saying, well, this is what I would have done. And it gives like podcasts like us, because there's many podcasts in a similar situation to us where it's not their job, they just do it because they like it and they like the product, where we can come on. Because that's the thing, you know, and somebody did tweet us saying, you know, WWE it sucks at the moment, but when I listen to us ranting about it, it is entertaining. It's like, yeah, I understand that, but, you know, life is far too short to watch something that you don't like just to come on. And because I was getting into the point where I was just getting myself fucking wound up, which is why I can't anymore. But when they do those bad booking decisions, they do it purposely, in my opinion. So they fuck over their own fans to rile them up so that they go on Twitter and roar trends.
Yeah.
And then they can say to their... they can say to their shareholders, you know, which is great because AEW is a private company, you know, as one owner, which is why they will never, or you think they'd never do that unless they decide to float it, which may happen at some point. But they can say to their investors, like, Raw trends number one every week. It's like, well, yeah, Raw trends number one every week because people are saying, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
But they will continue to watch because it's a weird... I don't know, it's like Ric Flair said a thing on Renee's show when he was fucking... It sounded like he was on coke. just high on life. Where he said, like, wrestling's like no other business. And it's totally right. Like, you know, indie shows have got to be great. Secondary shows like AEW and New Japan and ROH and Impact have got to be the best they can be.
Yeah.
Because their fans are a smaller pool... And they're the fanatical wrestling fans. Whereas the WWE side, because it is a load of casuals, because of those big numbers, it's a weird thing. It's like the constant heat thing is a situation that they've got themselves in because it trends and it makes something trend. So like Becky Lynch comes back and fucks Bianca Belair over. And it's in every news, like, oh, bad decision and all this kind of stuff. They don't give a fuck.
No.
They consistently make these decisions that we as fans say are bad.
Mm.
But they're doing it over and over and over again. So it's a conscious decision. It's not a... Because, like, loads of people say, oh, yeah, Vince is out of touch. He's shit. He doesn't know what's going on. And, yeah, there is a part of it that is that. But... that's the constant changing of his mind and ripping up the scripts and all that kind of stuff. But to think that he's completely lost the plot to the point where he's just putting bad show on after bad show after bad show is rubbish. They're doing this for a reason. They're doing it so it trends, because they've, over the last 5 years, have seen when they book a face win, everybody's not on Twitter tweeting about it. They're all just cheering at the TV. Whereas if Bianca Belair gets screwed over, all of Bianca Belair's fans will go on Twitter and use the hashtag because they want a hive mind and they want to find people that are similar to them. And SummerSlam will trend even more than it already was. So that's the key distinction between it, I think.
I agree.
I just never want it to get to that point. Which I don't think it will. But I'm in a bit of a... bit of a dour. It's weird, really, because I've got this fucking WrestleGram Slam show to watch, which I'm sure will be amazing. I've got pay-per-view at the weekend. I'm not working on Monday, so I can, you know, stay up and watch it and without any fear of repercussions. And I just feel a little bit...
meh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. I totally get it. Sometimes it just happens like that.
I think what it is, because there's not a, other than like the Lucha Bros against the Young Bucks in the cage match.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm excited for any match, because I'm thinking about, I'm not, because like, say for example, Hangman Page versus Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
You'd be like, right, I'm fucking, this is going to be, hopefully it's going to be his title win. You know, this is going to be a great moment and all this kind of stuff. Whereas now I'm like, okay, well, Christian versus Omega. I'm waiting for Christian to get pinned so Daniel Bryan comes out.
I know what you mean.
You know, Miro against Kingston. I don't think Kingston's going to win. So, and it's just going to be CJ Perry comes out and interferes.
See, this is it. And what I'm saying before is because you're a fan of wrestling, and I think you feel, for one, just to put words in your mouth, you feel like you're not really going to be getting a proper wrestling show.
Yeah.
And that match in the cage is likely to be the only one that like floats your boat. Whereas
totally, which is the WWE thing though. Like the WWE thing is they put one match on a pay-per-view that you're interested in, like Cesaro and Seth Rollins, and then the rest of it is fucking John Cena proposing, and you know, that's
Yeah, because it's lacking for you, because you know that it doesn't matter how good some of these matches are, it's looking likely they're being set up for something else.
Yeah.
So
it's not a blow off.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Which is what I like. I like the blow off.
Yeah. For want of a better expression.
Not a blow job. I mean, I like a blow job like any man. Literally any man. But you know.
Oh dear.
Blow off is a... yeah, no one wants it to blow off. That's a trip to A&E.
Want it to be that good, it blows off. Here's your challenge, love.
Oh, jeez. Love, like we're fucking 50. Here's your challenge, love. I want you to blow it off. Oh, Christ.
Oh, dear me. But I think that's the problem with it.
Yeah, you're on the nose, I think.
That's the problem. And, you know, but you have got New Japan to watch, and that will just be a load of beefs and a load of good wrestling matches.
Yeah.
So I think it's an unusual time. It won't be like this every pay-per-view. I do think it'll go back to being, you know, less about who might be turning up.
Yeah.
But I think we've just got an odd few months.
Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm just a bit like, I don't know, because I didn't even think about it that way. But yeah, I think you're right. Like I feel like a lot of these matches, I can predict what's going to happen, and rarely can we predict AEW. Rarely we can predict it.
We might be wrong, but there is, you know, if you are into, you know, like wrestling, which, you know, first and foremost, and then, you know, a bit of theatrics and surprises coming just after that.
Yeah.
You look at this card and you think, I can see myself getting shortchanged quite a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
On this. Whereas I'm probably more excited about this card than I have been about any of the... And it's because of that, because I love that side of it. And totally. I love a surprise, and I love getting it. I get really, like, het up about, you know, who's coming out. And, oh, my God. Yeah. So, and it's one of the reasons why, like, I've always loved the Royal Rumble in WWE. It's because it's just constant surprise after surprise, unless they tell you everyone who's coming out. But, like, you know, and it's the potential of the Rumble for me that's more exciting than the Rumble itself, because usually, you know, the last few years have been quite shit. But, you know, you do end up, you know, the odd time you do get your AJ Styles moment.
Yeah.
And it's dead exciting. You all right?
Oh, yeah, I just started itchy eyes.
You just started rubbing his face.
No, not in a disparaging way. Just, I think I'm just like...
You're a grumpus this week.
Not this week, just the last couple of days.
You've been grumpy, like, man.
But, to say that Kenny Omega versus Christian Cage won't be a good match is ridiculous, because we've seen them have a match and it was very good. Mm. It's just that I'm not going to get a final payoff with it. It's one winged angel, it's 1-2-3, out comes Bryan Danielson. So it's like, that'll be great.
It might not happen. He might be coming out at half rash. It might not happen.
Well, that was the original plan.
We'll see.
I think once, like, everybody's fucking debuted and it's all set up. Then...
Exactly. You've just got to be...
Why can't I get, like... Because I think, okay, Daniel Bryan's going to come out tonight. I can't wait to see that crowd reaction. But I'm not, like... I'm not excited for Daniel Bryan to come out.
Okay.
I'm just like, oh, he's coming out.
Yeah.
Because again, it's a ruined surprise. Because I do look into it more than I probably should do, and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know. It's just, and I'm expecting Adam Cole, and I'm expecting Bray Wyatt, even though all roads lead to Impact. Which, you know, you listen to Matt Stryker on commentary and you think, why? But I fucking hate Matt Stryker so much. He's so crap. Alvarez did a thing on him and he said, like, two big guys were, like, having a match and they both, like, did, like, a suplex or something where they landed on each other.
Right.
And I don't think this is right, but Stryker said something like, the reason why a move went wrong or something like that is because they've been brought down by the weight of their own talent or something like that. It was something fucking stupid. God. Anyway, I can't remember it, but, you know, feel free to go and find it. But God, Matt Stryker, he is the worst. He really is the worst. And, like, that's the only reason why I don't watch, literally, because I love fucking Switchblade. I like quite a lot of the wrestlers there. I just fucking can't stand Matt Stryker's voice. I think he's the worst wrestling commentator. Like, give me Michael Cole any day of the week over Matt Stryker. Give me fucking Corey Graves, Byron Saxton, whoever the fuck that guy is on Raw now. You know, whoever they've got for Raw this week. You know, give me all of them over Matt Stryker. Anybody. Give me. I'll put me in there over Matt Stryker, and I'd prefer to listen to it. I'll fuck up a lot. But Christ, he is the worst. Is the absolute worst. That might be a good spit negative, maybe not. I was gonna say, like, tweet out, like, who's the worst wrestling commentator at the moment.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Nah, it's a bit who's the best?
Who's the best is an interesting one.
I've got a who's the best. And I don't wanna influence anybody, but you know, by this point the people tweeting's probably stopped listening. Ian Riccaboni for ROH is the best wrestling commentator. Really? Yeah, so this week on ROH TV you had Dragon Lee against Ipem, I think his name is, Isam Ipem, for the TV title, and it's Riccaboni, Patrice Coleman and Dalton Castle on commentary, and the last, like, 5 minutes of the match, all three of these guys are just screaming like, oh my god, and it was the best fucking thing.
Yeah.
And Riccaboni, I've been saying for ages, is so good. And the fact that his commentary voice and his normal voice
weird
is just completely different.
Yeah, that's very strange, that.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it?
Like, yeah, very that, strange, yeah. Very strange. I mean, you kind of have to put on a slightly different voice, but to that extent where it sounds like a completely different person is just odd.
Yeah, because like Kevin Kelly, Michael Cole, JR, you know, you're listening to them when they talk, they sound like they do.
Well, yeah, because...
Whereas Rick Abani just doesn't at all. No. He sounds completely different. But yeah, Rick Abani at the moment is the commentator that's, I'd say, is number one. But yeah, I might do that tweet for the next
maybe
show.
Maybe you should.
Because I'm sure we'll do a Monday, maybe a Monday wrap-up of everything that's...
Mauro is my favourite.
Mauro is, but he's not active
currently. I know. But he remains the best.
Yeah, Mauro's the best for me of all time.
He's just brilliant.
Which
Absolutely
is
brilliant.
Tough, but yeah, I just think he's amazing, Mauro. Oh, any more? Have you got anything else you want to talk about? I don't really want to finish, but
do you know what? I mean, I'm quite hungry, so I do want my leftover pizza. I'll be honest.
Okay, we'll leave it there then. We'll let you get some chowder.
Chowder.
So thanks very much for listening, everyone. Enjoy your what do you call it? Can't even fucking get my words out now.
Weekend.
Wait, hang on. Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm fucking typing away.
What are you doing? Why are you doing that? What are you doing?
Why are you doing it? No, I was just going to say, enjoy your All Out weekend. And if anyone's watching Wrestle Grand Slam, do give us a tweet about it. I obviously am a day behind, but I'll catch up very soon. And, you know, like we did last time. And hopefully all the speakers and everything like that are set up properly. And if not, I'll just turn it on. Enjoy yourselves. Because
yeah.
It's probably not going to get any better than this. So until next time.
Cheerio, motherfuckers.
Pip-pip.